I greet you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's a blessing to come and to worship the Lord with you here this morning. And I don't know how you find it. The mornings to kind of get going for me this morning has been a little, it's been one of those weeks. I was telling a few folk this morning, it's been quite a busy week. Probably all of us could say that. But been quite stressful in the recording studio a lot this week. The Raber family is doing recording. Then the Mullet family was in the studio, and it gets kind of stressful. And then we were getting ready for this new recording, and I know some of you were here last evening, and yesterday it was all day long here, singing. I said some of them were part of the time laying on the platform up there, exhausted, and some were sitting, and I'd say, okay, let's sing again. Because some of the songs we'd never sung before publicly. So last night was a first. And everybody was extremely tired last night. And this afternoon, it's practicing again throughout the afternoon and then this evening at New Holland there. And then in preparation, Lord willing, Thursday evening at Broad River. And it was about 10 years ago, and I was talking to Wesley this morning and some others last night. I think it was about 10 years ago, behind the fences at Broad River. That was the last really video production that we did, and it was such an anointed recording to the glory of God. It was the last time really for all the girls, for all of our daughters to be in that kind of a recording. And so it was very, very special. And that was in the visiting room at Broad River. There was no chapel. So now there's a chapel built. It was actually where fundraising was being done for that chapel. We were having a fundraising program over at CCI on the ball field. Some of you were maybe there when Austin took ill for the very first time as a little baby. And they went out and they went to the hospital there and it then went from there to a heart transplant. It was when one of the death row prisoners actually made a call from death row. Chaplain Brown had it set up. And called Duane's at, is it Richland? What's the name of the hospital? I don't know what the name of the hospital in Columbia, but Children's, and called there to say, we're praying for you. And Duane has shared that a lot in testimony of how special that was. So going back to Broad River will bring back a lot of memories and pray for the Mullet children because right now they're kind of under the weather physically, and we're really hoping they can be there for that recording on Thursday evening. Just really appreciate if you would keep them in prayer. And coming here this morning, as I look out this morning, many of you that have been such a blessing to my life over the years, and I just really thank God for each one of you and the way that you've ministered into my life and sown into my life over the years. I thank God for that. And this morning, as Jerry, this past week, had asked if I would share this morning, and first I wasn't quite sure should I do that or shouldn't I after knowing what the weekend all holds, but I want to be careful to say no when God's saying why not. I don't know, sometimes I kind of struggle with that, so I said I'll be willing to do that by God's grace. And as I shared that and had prayed about it, there was a message that I sensed God was just laying on my heart to share this morning that is really close to my heart, but closer it is to the heart of God. And to the heart of God, and it's I believe we're living in a very critical time in America, a very critical time. And I don't know if we realize, you know, but I believe that God is allowing things to happen. You know, there is one thing that God has in mind for the whole world. It doesn't matter where it is. There is one thing that God has in mind with every one of us all the time, and that is to draw His created into a loving relationship with the Creator. Number one. He can stop any tsunami. He can stop 9/11s. He can stop Hurricane Katrina's. He can stop anything he wants, anytime he wants, anywhere he wants. He's still the blessed controller of all things. But everything that God permits is for a reason, and it's one reason, and that is because He's created us to worship Him and to bring Him glory. And He said, I'll let anything happen I need to happen to bring my created into a broken and worshipful relationship with the Savior. Now, you share that publicly, you'll get static for it. But that's what the Word of God says. And He allows those things to happen. But there's something that He asks of you and I to do. Like if we would turn to Mark chapter 8 this morning. And in Mark chapter 8, in this passage of scripture that I'd like to share from just a number of scriptures that we might turn to and some maybe just reflect about, but not exactly, maybe not really turn to them here this morning. But in Mark chapter 8 and beginning in verse 34, Mark chapter 8 and verse 34, "And when he," Jesus, "had called the people unto him and his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh into the glory of his Father with his holy angels." Now let me read again verse 38. "Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh into the glory of his Father with his holy angels." My question this morning is Jesus ashamed of you? Is he ashamed of me? You say, why would he be ashamed of me? He said he will be ashamed of me if I'm ashamed to go public with him. We have a problem. We're in church this morning and it feels good to be here to talk about Jesus Christ. You leave the confines of the church and get out into public. There's something that happens within us. There is a fear that creeps over us that is within of what will happen if I mention this name of my Savior publicly. What will people think and what will people say? And all of a sudden, we become somewhat ashamed of Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm not really ashamed, but he said, if you're ashamed of me in front of others, in this adulterous and sinful generation, we are living in an adulterous and sinful generation. Amen? We are. And he said, if you're ashamed of me when you're out in public, he said, I'm going to be ashamed of you in front of the Father. There is something that Christ wants to do in us to help us to have a bold faith for him no matter where we are. And with that bold faith, there are consequences and things that are going to happen. In fact, in Matthew chapter 10, would you turn to the left? And in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus was speaking here again, and as he was warning the disciples, as he speaks here, he warns you and I at the same time. But in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 22, he is sharing here about, again, the things that we're going to be going through. And in Matthew 10 verse 22, he says to the disciples, "You're going to be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved." And he goes on, he tells them how they should go out and be that salt and be that light wherever they go. And friend, I believe when he's speaking to the disciples, he's speaking to you and I. He is asking you and I. A disciple is a follower of Christ. How many of you believe that you are a disciple of Christ? I trust all of us. You see, a believer comes to Christ. A disciple follows him. A believer just comes and sits there and says, I believe in Jesus Christ. A follower says, I want to be an imitator and a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a disciple. And then in verse 32, "Whosoever shall confess me before men," here it is again. And most of the Gospels, Jesus shared the same thing. "Confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father in heaven. But whoever shall deny me before men, him also will I deny before my Father which is in heaven." He said, if you confess me before men, and you declare who I am publicly, I'm going to confess you before my Father. Look at him. Look at Donnie. Look at Kenny. Look at Wesley. Look at, you know, on and on. Look at them. They're confessing me in public. Father, do you see that? Look at that. I believe the most thrilling thing to the heart of God is when his children confess him publicly. In church, it's easy to do. Among God's children, it's easy to do. But when you go to the workplace and you share him publicly, it's not easy to do. Because when salt and light hits the core of society, there is the offensiveness of the cross. It becomes offensive to the world. Don't use the name of Jesus. That type of a mentality. Jesus goes on to say in verse 34, "Don't think that I've come to send peace on earth. I've not come to send peace, but a sword." He said, actually, he said, I've come to set a, a man at variance against his father, daughter against mother. He said, in the home, it's going to happen. That man's foes shall be they of his own household. He said, wait a minute. You might say, well, you mean this? Yes. When I believe in the last days, there's going to be a real cost to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We're entering, I believe, those days. Where even within their own households, not everybody's going to be agreeing. Because the cross is offensive. Holiness is offensive. Godliness is offensive to the world. And those who are not followers of Christ. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not up his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Same passage we read a little bit earlier, Mark chapter 8. He that finds his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake and the gospel's sake shall find it. It goes on and he shares in this type of a way. And he says, it is a cost to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ because when there's truth, there brings conflict. Whenever there's truth that goes out, there's going to be conflict. And what it means is that cost is in laying down our life and laying down our rights and yielding ourselves to be followers of Christ. But the goal this morning or the message this morning that I want to focus on especially is our verbal witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. We can wear good clothes and we can dress in holiness and godliness and make good food and good furniture and be known for all these good things among our people. But you know what? How much do we open our mouth and declare publicly about the Lord Jesus Christ? If you and I would declare publicly what we know inwardly, if we would declare publicly what we have learned in Sunday school and in church in our private life, there would be a spiritual evangelistic explosion in all of our Mennonite communities. Yes, there would be. If we would take out on Monday through Saturday what we've learned on Sunday, there would be an absolute explosion and ridicule like we've never seen, opposition like we've never seen. But today, that's not happening, you see. And we have today more training and more teaching and seminars and conferences and avenues and means and so forth of learning than we've ever had in the history of the world. Yet our world is becoming darker and America is becoming darker rather than light, you see. That's really what's happening. And but I believe the Lord is saying to me, that to all of us, he's saying, I want you to be my witnesses, salt and light. In Romans, turn to Romans if you will. Romans chapter 1. This is a very, very familiar passage. And Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Most of us know it by memory. Romans 1, verse 16. The Apostle Paul. Romans 1, 16. Paul said, I am not what? Say it again. Everybody. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God and the salvation. Everyone might believe it to the Jew and then to the Gentile. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Paul went on record to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm going to stand for it no matter what it costs me. And it cost him a great, great deal. And so it will you and I when we go public with our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And then in Timothy, I know we're going around a little bit here, but if you go to Timothy in 2 Timothy, if you would. In 2 Timothy, here's Paul again in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 12, Paul said, where the which cause also I suffer these things. Now he's going through the suffering, things that he's going through. Paul says, nevertheless, I hear that it is again, I am not ashamed. He said, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I believe, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep everything I've committed to him until the day that he calls me home. Friend, I want that to be my testimony, and I'm learning and I'm growing. I have not attained. I have not. Paul said he's not attained. None of us have attained. We're growing. We're on a process. We're on a path, you see. But we want to be on a growing path. I trust that from last year to this year, we can say we've grown in Christ. We're not the same as we were then. That we've grown in grace and knowledge and in love with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then also in 2:2, in 2 Timothy 2, verse 12. We're already in 2 Timothy 2. And here's what he says here. Then he says, and if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he knew something about this. He will also deny us. Not only did Jesus say it, Paul said it. Paul said, I'm aware that if I deny him when I have an opportunity to declare him, he's going to deny me. The Lord is saying, You had that opportunity all set up for you, but you denied me. You talked about sports. You talked about the weather. You talked about the economy. I was hoping you'd talk about me. Friend, we miss it. I miss it. I know 7-8 years ago, this was just, it really, really brought home to me, and especially because of some circumstances, some situations and things that happened that just made me shudder when I thought about it, of why we're not sharing our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and of our need to go public with Jesus, and not just in using worldly terms but spiritual terms in sharing the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, in the scriptures where he says in Matthew, the Beatitudes, he said, blessed are you, blessed, 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 about 9 times. Blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are these, and so forth. And I began to say, Lord, give me something that I can use to not just use ordinary language in public, but something that would be salt and light, something that would be spiritual, something that would set it apart from the world. And the Lord said, what are you? I said, I'm blessed. That's right, I'm blessed. It doesn't matter if I have money or don't have money. It doesn't matter if I'm going through troubles and trials and difficulties. I am still blessed, not because of a horizontal position, because of my vertical position in Jesus Christ. I'm redeemed by his precious blood. My name is in the book of life in heaven. I'm on my way to heaven. Are you? I am blessed because of Christ and what he's done for me. Remember, I began to use that term where I went, and I was absolutely astounded at what God did through the Holy Spirit. And just using a simple phrase, and people said, how are you? Instead of using worldly terms like I'm good and when I wasn't, or I'm okay when I really wasn't, I'm fine when I really wasn't, or even if I was, whatever, but to say, I'm blessed. You're what? I'm blessed. And I don't have time this morning to go. I've already said, if the Lord would let me to write a little booklet on all the conversations that have been able to have been started through that, of people saying, you must be a Christian. It's an identity. All of a sudden, they identify who you are. Would you pray with me? Can I talk to you? They're all around us, all over the place. I have story after story after story to the glory of God. Some that it just caused such brokenness to say, God, I've missed it so many times. How many have been on their path to hell? And I did not declare that I'm a child of God and I'm here for you. And then in the last number of years over in Africa, when you say to the people there, the pastors and a lot of the Christians, you say, how are you? They'll say, by his grace. What? By his grace. I am what I am by the grace of God. So I said, yeah, Lord, I like that even better. So now that's what I like, by his grace. A lot of heads turn like, you're what? It's by the grace of God. Friend, if it wouldn't be for that, I wouldn't stand here today. It's all by the grace of God. It's all by his grace. But going, sharing publicly our faith and in the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is something, you know, in about, I guess it was the late 70s, I remember Don Price. Some of you remember Don Price. Remember Don Price out in, it was in Milford, Nebraska, having meetings there, and Don was preaching, and our family was singing, and Don would say to the people, he'd say, now tomorrow, we're all going to gather at the church at 10 in the morning, whatever, and then we're going to have some training, and then we're going to be going house to house, door to door, we're going to go into town, so forth, you know. First day, I think there were 6, then there were 4, then there were 2. And Don turned to me one day and he said, Nelson, there's something wrong with your people. I said, what do you mean, Don? He said, Nelson, your people have a fear of going public with their faith. They're really good people. Have a reputation of being good people. But they don't go public. There's something wrong. I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, they're fearful to go out. And, you know, Don had been out of many soul-winning campaigns and so forth, and with his church and like that, and came from a Baptist background like that and so forth. But he had a heart, he just had a heart just filled with God. And he was the greatest soul winner I've ever known. I give all glory to God. But what God had put within him, the greatest soul winner I've ever known in my life. And everywhere Don would go, he'd always be testifying for Jesus. I don't care where he was, wherever you were, you always heard him talking about Jesus. He'd always say, have you heard good news today? Have you heard good news today? Have you heard good, everywhere he went, have you heard good news today? They're like, no, I wouldn't. And he'd say, the good news is that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, buried, and rose again the third day. Have you heard of good news day? I saw him literally lead hundreds to Christ, just personally, just watched him do it. Restaurants, service stations, parking lots, airports, wherever it was. Just in a few minutes of time. Because he wanted to use all the time that God would give him. Because there's nobody else qualified but the child of God to take him public. There's no one else qualified, just the children of God. And if he can't count on us, he can't count on anybody else. That's why he says, you shall be witnesses unto me. I want you to be my witnesses. And in 2 Corinthians 5, he said, you are ministers of reconciliation. Not talking. You know, he's not talking to preachers. He's talking to the church at Corinth. He said, you are ambassadors for Christ. You are ministers of reconciliation. He said, you represent me.
Due to technical difficulties, we were unable to record a portion of this message.
Who asked for the vow to be made of our Anabaptist forefathers. And they're coming to America to ask forgiveness for having demanded that vow. They want reconciliation. And they want God's people, the Mennonite people, to be free and to recant of even that ancestral vein that was passed down from generation to generation. And then they said, and during the tent meeting in Lancaster, they're around yet that week before they fly on Friday back to France. There were about 7 of them. And if an evening would be open, that they could come and share at the tent. It just, something just went, just the Holy Spirit. I was like, this is actually going to happen. And just to say how God ordained it was, there was confusion on our part about there was one night that we thought was open. That was Thursday night. And we had a mix-up in a singing group that was scheduled to come. And the singing group had said they were scheduled for Thursday night and not Wednesday night. And we said, you're on Wednesday night, not Thursday night. We discovered that the first night of the meetings. And they said, that means Wednesday night is open. And after the Sunday night service, we announced the change in the plans. And here the people from France were there. And afterward, they said, the only night we have available is Wednesday evening. No other night works. It was God's divine plan. And that night, the Miller family shared the drama of counting the cost of Anabaptism. It was so fitting. It was an evening we'll never forget. As those people from France came to the platform and through an interpreter asked the people in the audience for forgiveness for that vow to be made. And the people declaring they forgive, then we had them all go down front from France and the people from the audience would come up, women to women, men to men, and would embrace them and say, we forgive you. And such brokenness. But that wasn't the end of it. The lady, I didn't bring the book up here, but it's called Unlocking Your Inheritance. Janet Richards wrote the book from Lancaster County, Mennonite lady. In a half hour's time, God gave her the theme for the book of all the things that have transcended and have impacted our lives because of that vow. She helped and we put a prayer that God enabled to write a prayer to release people that want to be free, that have sensed that there was something in their heart that they wanted, but they couldn't. They really wanted to go public, but there was something they felt that was locking up inside, and they had just such a fear of really going public. And then we asked people to come and pray that prayer. And after that prayer, there was just an outbreaking of such jubilation and freedom I cannot explain. Of what took place and what has taken place since in many, many people's lives. Lancaster County Bishop came to me and said, Nelson, the Lancaster Conference, he said, for the first time this past week, ministers from Lancaster Conference that met together and prayed that vow to be broken, listen to this, for the first time went public and out on the streets in Lancaster to share their faith publicly. These are preachers. He said they've never done it before. There was always such a fear. But for the first time, he said there's a breaking loose. And the Amish, they said Amish bishops were just broken and weeping when they understood how we became known as the quiet in the land. And there is a revival breaking out all over. And this morning, I know there's a paper in the back that says unlocking our inheritance. And it says in a nutshell what I just shared with you and how it happened and how the vow was made. There's papers back there you can take. There are books back there. That the book that Janet wrote, you can take a book. It's all on a donation basis. I didn't bring any envelopes or anything. If God leads you to send something to the ministry, the book will be a tremendous, tremendous challenge to you. But that prayer, I was looking this morning and I thought, I don't even have it with me because it was kind of a special prayer of crying out to God. And I don't have it. I went through my Bible about three times and I was there praying. I said, Lord, I don't have it, but I don't really have to have it. The Holy Spirit, I don't know, just said, look one more time. And as I opened my Bible, way in the back was the prayer. And it just touched my heart. I said, well, Lord, I believe therefore you want me to go ahead and to share that this morning. And I would just like this morning to give opportunity. I don't know how many of you here, I could have had a hand raising. But how many of you here this morning that are saying, you know, I want to be public for Jesus. I do not want him to deny me, but I've denied him. You see, he's put us in places continually with other people. And we either do or we don't take him public. We make excuses. I don't know how they would have felt if I would have. But I pray to God that he give us a new holy boldness to be not afraid, but to have a greater fear of God than a fear of man. Because the fear of man bringeth a snare. Proverbs 29:25. But he that puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. The fear of God means I respect you, I honor you. It's all about you, Jesus. It's not about me. They persecuted you, they'll do it to me. They hated you, they'll hate me. But I'm coming to be with you, Jesus. And this is all part of the plan. I want us to stand together this morning, all of us. I know there's not, maybe a lot of room up front here, but I really believe that instead of just being where you're at, somehow we need to indicate that this is a step that the Holy Spirit is wanting us to make. I would be honored just to pray a prayer. It's not in the prayer, it's in the Holy Spirit. But the prayer indicates where our heart is before God. And I just want to share, if this is your heart this morning, you say, I just sense the Holy Spirit speaking to me. That I've denied him, I've not gone public the way that I've wanted to, but there's been a snare in my soul, and I really want to be free. I want to be free. To let Jesus be Jesus through me. I need to pray that prayer this morning. I want you to step out and just come anywhere you can gather. Just come right now. Just come. I don't care if it's younger people, moms, dads, sons and daughters, whoever it is, just come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bible says the Lord hears the cry of his people. This is not a prayer, it's a cry. A cry is desperation, a cry of seriousness.
This morning I want us to make it a cry. I want to just lead us in this to the glory of God. Let's pray. Oh God, make it a cry. Oh God, we confess that when our ancestors agreed to stop witnessing, oh Father, you were deeply grieved, because it's your desire that all people know your love. Oh Father, we repent for the vow of silence that our forefathers agreed to. We repent because that generational sin has caused us to become known as the quiet in the land. We renounce the vow of silence and break its power over our lives, over our families, over our churches, just as our early forefathers radically fulfilled a great commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We ask, O Father, release us from this vow. Set us free. Loose our tongues. Give us holy boldness and courage. Take away all fear and fill us with your love for others. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, and we will follow you. We receive this in faith because you love us and you are for us and not against us. Thank you, Father. We ask all this in the precious name of Jesus and for his glory. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a clap offering of praise this morning. Hallelujah. Sing that this morning. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. We've got the power. Yes. In the name of the Lord, though Satan rages, we will not be defeated. We've got the power. In the name of the Lord. Let's lift our hands and sing it. We've got the power in the name of Jesus. Yes, we do. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we will not be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. The church say amen, amen and amen. And I want to encourage us this morning. I want to challenge us. I challenge my own heart. Now, first of all, let God turn the natural into spiritual. The whole Christian walk is turning the natural into spiritual. And it's a walk and a process. Ask God to help you to change from worldly language to spiritual language. I don't know how to express this except say I just want to affirm that what's going to happen will revolutionize your life. It'll revolutionize your life. Because you will be humbled and amazed at what we've missed. Because we've just fallen in the world's language. And we've not separated ourselves that people will be able to say. A lot of people said, you must be a preacher. Friend, not preachers ought not just talk spiritual, but every one of us are a priest of God, sons and daughters of God. And when you take him public and you acknowledge him and you say to somebody, I'm blessed, and you ask if they're blessed and they say yes, and you say, why are you blessed? I guarantee you, 95% of the people will talk about earthly things, even in our circles, in the workplaces. And you ask him anything else, and finally it's like, well, I mean, Jesus, why wasn't that first? Because we're not thinking that way. Or if they get tired of you asking, they'll finally say, well, why are you blessed? Then you tell them. Very simple. It's because of Jesus Christ. Just simple. It's because of Jesus. He saved me. I wouldn't be here. Wouldn't be for that. Just very simple. And you've taken him public. He's gone with you and you've declared him. And they're like, uh-huh. And the Holy Spirit now takes over. And the opportunities that are there. You will absolutely be amazed at the opportunities that are there. There's a hurting, sin-scarred world that is saying, who can I find? And it's more so today than ever before. Who can I find that'll put their arm around me, that'll take a moment of time? And there on that Good Samaritan highway, the priest and the Levite said, what'll it cost me if I take time for him? The Samaritan said, what'll happen to him if I don't take time for him? Which are we going to be? You can go back to your seats. And as you do that, just sing with me, if you will. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way while we do his good will. Jerry abides with us.